Actually, I'm going to go to, oh yeah, we're there. Great, great, great. I'm going to go to a verse, and I want to bring you to this place in Romans 8. Entitled today, one of the things I'm going to speak about is, well, I'll tell you in a sec. Let me hang on a second. Give me a second. Verses 28 and 29. And this is like a Romans 8, 28 and 9. This is something the Lord prompted that wasn't in my notes. But it's real critical, so I'm actually glad the Lord bumped me on this. Verse 28, Romans 8, verse 28, Romans 8. Says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son so that he would be the firstborn of many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? And even in that scripture, when I look at, and the title today is Everything That Can Be Shaken Will Be Shaken. And this isn't a reflection. I'm talking about something I know the Lord is sharing with me. I had also talked to, I was talking to Steve, and I talked to Bruce. And we've been talking about everything that can be shaken will be shaken. The Lord is going to come eventually, the second coming. But something I know that's going on right now, and I had a sense of, I've had senses of no time to waste. In the last even month, it's been really intense. And I realized that even in the shaking process, God is shaping us. But Jesus is coming to his church. And what I mean is, and the first thing you hear this is, you know, the present, we have the Spirit and Jesus is, but Jesus is coming to his church. He is going to make himself known. There's a huge difference between, you know, our something being spiritually true in the invisible realm. But when that manifests in the midst of God's people, that's really critical. Jesus is coming to his church before he is coming back. And we are in a season. You know, there used to be this way back, I don't know if it was in the late 80s, where people talked about, you know, what if Jesus came to your house? You know, what would you put away? What would you stop doing? And it was an interesting thing in those days. And I realized that this is a lot even different than that. Jesus shows up and he truly manifests in the church, which will in turn manifest if we're hollow. It will show that if we're good at all our rhetoric, but we don't live in a way or practice church in a way that truly represents his manifestation, his appearing and manifesting in the body will really kind of unravel that, because that's where the substance of who we are shows up and manifests himself. And when I titled this, the shaking is already, you know, all that can be shaken will be shaken. I'm not talking about Russia or Ukraine. These are big issues, but that's not what this is about. But I've had this personal sense for months, but it's getting more defined. Sometimes God will give you a word and you'll try to figure, or a sense. And I don't try to figure it out, because one thing I've learned, you can't. And then God makes it clearer. But imagine this for a minute. Are you having a problem?
Yeah, something happened to the audio.
Yeah, Bart just texted.
Okay. Hang on a second. I am ready to change this. Hold on. It should not be more than a... And then let me know, guys, if you see this come up, it's going to be 19.902.0. Mm-hmm. Are you seeing it? Are you seeing it?
Go again.
Test.
Yeah, there you go.
Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
I want to see something else. Excuse me. I didn't adjust this. Test, 1, 2, 3. It's still not testing. You hearing it, Josh?
Yeah, just a little quiet.
Yeah, it's quiet? Mm-hmm. Hold on a second. Sorry, guys. Tell everybody to hold still. Apologize. No, no, I got those up. They're up 100%. Is it coming on? It's still faint.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not right. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Testing, testing, testing. Wait a minute. Did you put SSL2
yes,
on?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Otherwise, you wouldn't be hearing anything.
Oh, that, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry, guys. I'm really sorry.
That's obviously not this microphone because we've been clicking on it.
Testing.
That's that mic.
Testing. 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 Can you hear it better now?
There you go.
Can you hear it better now? Better?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Okay. I had to do something. Not sure why I did it, but all right, let me know. Keep an eye on it, Josh. Would you mind? Sorry, guys. So anyway, back to what we were doing before the technical demons took over. So as Jesus shows up in his church and wants to ready his church for his power and his appearing, we are going to see a change in the way that we do things. I don't mean we're going to do different schedules, not in that, but I really felt like that's the sense as a pastor that God gets us ready. And a lot of you can testify, there are seasons in your life to where Jesus has come. He's visited you. And what I mean, again, the Lord's always with you. So I want to make this really clear, but he manifests his presence in your life, in your home, and things began to turn and different stuff began to happen, okay? So this is important, but the thing about we're being shaped into the image of Christ, becoming like him, is really critical. When you say everything that can be shaken will be shaken, you have to understand that this goes in accordance with what you are being made. It isn't about God simply shaking off the stuff that's no good for you, but it's also about the Lord shaking off because you're becoming something else. This is why God, it's sanctification is progressive. This is why the Lord moves you and grows you day to day. This is why you're not born again and made overnight, because there is a sanctifying, progressive sanctification that God is doing in you, and he definitely is going to let that which can be shaken be shaken. And this is really critical because this is the point I'm getting at. He has to shake off the temporal that blocks the way of Jesus in our lives. This is really critical. I really believe this, guys. So I want to read another verse because, like I said, I had a sense of no time. And I never interpreted it, what was in my spirit, as like the end of the world's tomorrow. It felt different than that. But then I realized that there's a season coming. And you know, it's like the Lord tries to get you in place for the thing that he brings. And in this case, I think he's trying to shed garbage. I think he's trying to shed compromise. I think he's waking his kids up. And like I said, even when a season like this comes, you start to realize that I need to love the Lord the way I'm supposed to. I need to love my brother. I need to love my wife or husband. You fill in the blank. I need to do what God's been asking me to do. I need to get rid of the delay, because there's always a sense of more time. And it's sad, because even if when we have that sense to where we really kind of just play around and we act like there's more time, I'm not telling you there is no time, but I'm telling you, you don't have time for that. So if we play tag with God, there's a point where that starts to wear out, and you begin to say, it's not that, you know, I've got no time left, but the time I have is meant for something. So everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And I do think there's a reflection in the world. I do think there's a reflection. There's a lot of stuff going on, and it's hardcore. I'm not saying what you're seeing won't settle down, but that's not even the point. There's a real stirring, and it's really an incredible thing. But I want to read Hebrews 12:25. If God shakes your life and he starts to take your false comfort zones away and he starts to deal with you on issues, he wants to be manifest in you, Jesus. And there are things that are necessary. And we don't realize, sometimes we ask God for his heart, we ask God for more passion, and we miss the point that all of that comes with the manifestation of the Son of God in us and through us. So I ask God I want to love you more. God, I want to work in glory and power. And he's like, yes. And I want the Son of God to be more manifest in you, but I'm going to shake you. It's going to be necessary, because you're asking for this apart from becoming what you're meant to be. A lot of times we really don't mind how we are. We don't mind the way we are, and we're good with not changing. We want more power. We want to see some things in ministry, but we don't realize there's a death that's going on at that point, so that a life might be manifest, and there's a supernatural happening. Hebrews 12:25 says, see to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking, for if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on the earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. It's amazing, and the way the Lord deals with your life, he shakes it. And listen, I want you to take this personally too. When you go through different seasons in your life, and again, so many of the times we're clinging and God's pulling, and we're clinging and God's taking away. We're grabbing it and God's blowing it off, and we're trying to grab it back. And a lot of this stuff is more internal than it is external. And God does this thing, because if our life is filled with temporal fixes, wrong comfort zones, temporal whatever, and that blocks this, God begins to shake it off, because the only thing that is worth remaining is that which can remain after God's shaken your life. A lot of us go into a panic mode because we tend to worry about what shall we eat, what shall we drink. In fact, we're very narrow in our comfort zones and our distresses, and that includes me sometimes, absolutely. But God wants to shake that stuff out, and it needs to be, because the only thing worth staying in my being is the things of God. This is really critical, because again, the heavens are going to be shaken, the things of the earth are going to be shaken, the body of Christ is going to be shaken, the church is going to be shaken, the individual believer is going to be shaken. We really got to be in a place where we're not blocking that. We really got to be a place, because again, there is a fixed time that the Lord will return. I'm talking about the whole thing. But there is a time and a season where God readies you to get ready for a particular thing. Because when he does, and when he shakes, if you cling on it doesn't work well. And it takes us away from where we want to be. Imagine the prayer and saying, God, shake my life. Imagine what the prayer does when you say, God, shake my life. And then things begin to shake. And then we get to be in distress because we don't like things being shaken. And then all of a sudden we pray that prayer and just certain stuff starts to change. There are events that happen, things that are allowed by God. And again, and we really need to understand it's the things that are eternal that last. It's the temporal things that shake off. And we cannot get to a place to where we are gripping and clinging because we do get addicted to the familiar. Like I said, we have little things that we like to hold. They're not the things. God would never shake off of your being or my being that which I need. It's funny. If the Lord's dealing and if the Lord's taking away, we have to come to a grip and say, you know what? He's trying to shake it out. I'm holding on for dear life and trying to make sure he doesn't. Because I believe, don't shake my life, God. I like this thing and I need this thing. And that's just not it. That's not true. Would the Lord ever shake off of your life anything, whether it be a habit, whether it be a mindset, whether it be a material, whatever it is, would he ever shake off your life something that was worth holding on to? And this is a really important part. And I keep bringing up the emotional aspect, kind of how we're wired, because sometimes the external and the material aspect, yeah, people will grip that. I do. We can all grip that. But there's a way we think that's counterproductive to our growth. There's a way we live that's counterproductive to the manifestation of Christ. And I'm not talking simply manifesting to us, but also manifesting through us, because the most powerful version we can be is the one of the manifest Son of God. And this is something that God's dealing with. And again, these seasons will come. It doesn't matter what I do or don't do. In fact, they're coming regardless of whether I allow it or don't allow it. That's not going to change. But there's ground shifting on so many things, and you can feel it. And God's just readying his people. And this is all a love effort. But I like the fact that I need to always be open to the shaking of the Lord so he can remove the things which can be shaken. You know, we always say to God, give me strong, you know, give me faith and strength. Think about even this prayer. Lord, give me more faith. Faith is eternal. Faith comes from God. Well, it's interesting when we say that, he's going to shake off things we have faith in that are not of him. And like I said, many times we pray prayers that I think are led by the Lord, but we don't have a clue as to what that looks like. And we pray something earnestly, and God begins to absolutely answer the prayer. And then we're floored and stunned as ground shifts under our feet. We're stunned. We're afraid as things start to shake away. But everything really relates to this. I really believe that. Again, so if I tell God to give me greater faith, I'm asking him to help me to trust that which is not seen. So if I'm trusting that which is seen, you know what's going to happen actually? Not a lot of good. What's going to happen if I do that? Then I'm going to be gripping onto the thing that fights my faith from growing. And this is another thing, but God has promised to shake, and I'm glad. I'm glad he did. I'm glad he's promised to shake. I'm not concerned, but, you know, it's a prayer I've prayed, and my brothers have prayed many times with me. God, don't help me to let go. And that question, what's in your hand? You have to realize sometimes God is dealing with you in major ways, and he's not playing around, and he doesn't have an endless season of fighting. You know, when the church in America stops fighting with God, they will start to fight for God. But there's a divided house. It's so much right now, and the church battles with lordship. And yet it very confidently goes out and preaches Jesus as Lord, but he's not Lord of them. And men bring their great ideas, their religious ideas. And again, it's so interesting. All these counterparts, these parts are working together right now. But ask yourself that question. God's going to shake your life, not once, not twice. He's going to continually shake it. And he does it again, so you count on him, so you trust him. So The things that are in your life are of a divine and an eternal nature and not temporal, fading, and rotting. Ask yourself a question, too. This is excellent. And I've heard people get into this, and I really had this kind of question posed. If you were told that you had 1 year to live, okay, seriously, or 6 months, not going to say 24 hours, that's too panicky, 24 hours. What steps would you take? What actions would you take? Also, what would you put away? The reason I ask this question, it's not about you dying in a year, but it's interesting how our sober self comes out under fire. We're sober under fire. We're sober under the threat of loss. We're sober under this. And I ask the question because if I had 6 months to live and I did this and did that and got this straight, then that's the state I should always be in, because what that reveals is the real nature of life. We're born heading to death and resurrection, you know, the minute we come out of the womb. Actually, not the minute we come out of the womb, the minute we're conceived. We age. And you start asking yourself is, you know, if I had some kind of time limit and all of a sudden I was sober and I was serving and my whole heart was God's, why isn't it that way today? And why only with the threat of annihilation or temporal time going to see Jesus, all of a sudden we're doing all these things? I've seen this. I've seen people who had, you know, sentences. They were sick. They were told it's fatal and they passed. And I've seen the sobriety that comes over them. And I think it's awesome. Listen, if you're going to go in a year or 6 months and you get it together, I'm happy for you. But we who don't have a terminal diagnosis, or we're not walking around saying I'm on borrowed time, we sit there and the question's really obvious. There's things that would change. There's things we would put down. There's different ways we would think. But that's kind of what I'm saying. And that's really, in a lot of ways, there's a shaking going on in the body of Christ. There's a shaking going on. 2 Peter 3:9. I want you to go there with me. And I just want to encourage you in this today. 2 Peter 3:9. It says, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat?" And before you get nuclear mindset here, I don't believe it's at all what it's talking about. It's just a fire that comes from God. But what I'm getting at, I just ask you, what would you do if you had a year? You know, we're given a year of 6 months. But this verse is not asking that question, but it's the believer. Peter is writing, as the Lord writes through Peter, and he's saying, here's the nature of what you're sitting in called the earth. Here's the nature of where you live, and this is the nature of everything. He gives a perspective, and he says, since this is going to happen, what sort of people you should be based on the reality of that we're temporal, that the earth is, well, actually the earth will be reformed. It's not going to be burned and annihilated, but it's going to be reshaped. And he's kind of saying, the Lord is not slow about his promise, because again, Peter is giving this perspective to say, listen, you're looking at things in a way that's causing you to live in a way that you shouldn't. And so God gives this description of what's going to happen. And he says, you know, because of the nature of things, that reality should dictate your behavior this way. And it's all about perspective. And what I mean is, like I said, A man, you know, is away in his heart, and he thinks with his mind. And as he does his thinking, and he does the thing he does, he gets a perspective. And in the battle in the mind, when Paul said that our weapons are not, you know, they're not fleshy, they're powerful, pulling down imaginations, because this is where everything starts. See, we think we live in a world of facts and physical realities, and we do, but the reality is how you view them, how you see them is where the battle begins. And I can't say enough that you look at something like what Peter is saying, and this is all about understanding the true reality, understanding the nature, and your value system, and your conduct. And I like the fact that it talks about conduct gets affected. I can tell you absolutely, without even hesitating today, if 2 Peter 3:9 through 12 were in my spirit and I saw it fully, without any deception, there are many things I wouldn't have did. There are many things I wouldn't have invested in. There are time I wasted that I never would have. I heard Dr. Brown once talking. He was preaching, and he said, you know, my wife does this to me, because he's written a lot of books. He's a brilliant man. He's, to me, one of the best charismatic apologists that I've ever seen. Brilliant man. Has had great contributions to the church. He was down in Brownsville, and you know. And it's interesting because he's written books, and I know there's an income. I'm sure that. I mean, that, you know, you get to writing books that are selling a lot. But he says, you know, if he gets comfortable, his wife says, Michael, you know it's all going to burn, remember? And I like that because she, again, she brings him to 2 Peter and says, you're getting kind of hung up. She's not saying, Michael, don't drive that new car you bought. She's not saying, Michael, don't play tennis today. But it's a heart stance where she's saying, Michael, while you enjoy things, keep a perspective that eventually it all burns and conduct yourself in a way that shows that reality. See, because a lot of times people read stuff like this and they, you know, they go sit in a cave and wait to die, and that's not at all what it's getting at. It's how I view it's gonna affect my conduct. But what sort of people you ought to be in a holy conduct? And again, holy doesn't just mean morally pure, it means different. God is holy. Hagias, he is both pure, sinless, all light, but he is also not of this earth, indifferent. The ultimate end affecting our perspective. You know, it's interesting. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. And what we truly look forward to, I love many things in life. I love many things. I love, you know, my children, grandchildren. There's many things I love. But you come to understand, too, that ultimately our destination is in heaven. As even in Philippians, we're citizens of heaven. We're aliens and strangers to this earth. All these things are supposed to affect our conducts because they're the reality that we cannot see. Now, in Hebrews 12, when we had read it, it talks about the removing of things which can be removed. I want to say this today. Until and unless God shakes your life in different seasons. And I want to say something too. When I was a young Christian, if somebody preached something like this, I tried not to listen because I thought if I listened, it would actually bring about the shaking of God. So, well, I got to tell you something. That was a real foolish young man, because God's working. I don't care what you think or what you run from. He's going to deal. But think about this. Unless God would, in season and out of season, shake our life, we wouldn't even know what we truly have. You wouldn't even know the real nature. Think about this. A faith not shaken is no faith at all. Think about this, and this is a big one. This speaks to all of us. A faith not shaken. If my faith in God, my faith in his word is not challenged, then it's not a tried faith. And we want, you know, don't we want stuff that's tested, true, and tried? You know what I mean? Went through the furnace. You know, it's interesting. Many times our situation gets ugly. Many times things around us fail. Many times we're in seasons where there's this challenge. And it could be with money. It could be with anything. And we don't like it. We don't like it. In fact, people will start to talk like, you know, this is just shaking my faith. I've heard this before, and I get it. People say, I'm just so discouraged, my faith is shaken. And the reality of what's actually going on in them and in me and anybody who says that is, no, your faith is not being shaken. Your false faith is being shaken. The thing that you believed was faith, that is more sight than faith, that's being shaken. Your real faith isn't being shaken when you get into trials. Are you kidding me? In fact, unless the shaking happens, you won't even know the quality of your faith. And we don't like it. And many times we are very upset with God when he does this, or upset with ourselves, or just upset. But if you think about this for a minute, you go through trials, and maybe you're hand to mouth. Maybe you don't know where to pay your bills from. Maybe you feel totally messed up. And you go, man, this is, Lord, I'm getting discouraged. And if this problem keeps going on, I don't know if I'll survive. Actually, I've seen people walk away from the Lord because they were disillusioned with some form of unbelief because a situation was ugly. And in their minds, number one, they had the right to doubt God because he certainly didn't help them in the way they thought. But what's interesting, they would say, yeah, I used to believe. And I'm thinking, the true reality is you didn't believe at all. And when God tried to shake your faith so as to establish a real faith, you rejected the real you rejected the nature of the faith that is from God versus just, I trust God when things are good and I distrust him when they're bad. Think about this for a minute. Love, not challenge. Love, you know, I think of love. Love, not challenge, or betrayal. You know, we get mad if we're betrayed. And you know, it's interesting because love is not challenged unless I'm hated. Again, think about this. Love is not challenged unless I'm hated. And unless I love my enemies, well, then how do I know what kind of quality of love I've gotten? Do I know it's of God? Because I know if I'm wronged and I don't love, I know the quality of my love is really, again, it's just like with the faith thing. Here is something being shaken because God wants to establish the real deal of what divine love looks like, of what trusting the Lord, Proverbs 3:5, with all your heart. And we get to this place where God shakes everything that can be shaken so we can survive. This is another thing we need to realize. If you understand the seasons of shaking in your life, and you'll have them, you'll have more of them, I'll have them, I'll have more of them, you would grow to truly, truly appreciate shaking because it's like the serum or the antidote to get rid of a deadly poison in your system that will kill you. I was going through a time of great upheaval in my life many years ago, far before any of you in this sanctuary that knew me, many years before that. And I kind of lost everything. No, I kind of brought it about losing everything, absolutely. I could have grasped. In fact, I could have stayed in a certain lifestyle. And I was at this commune. I ended up at a commune. So things got funny, and I ended up at a commune. And they would assign you what they call the buddy. It was kind of cool. It was, you know, there was a married couple they assigned to me, and they would, you know, speak into my life, you know, kind of help you because I'm sitting here like everything is burned and fallen to the ground. And I'll never forget the scripture. A guy's name was Brian, Brian Faring. And he said, Mike, and he goes to Peter, let him who suffers according to the will of God and trust his soul to a faithful creator in doing right. And there was a release. Suddenly, what I had lost needed to be lost. Suddenly, and my situation wasn't a result of all a bunch of bad I did. In fact, there were some good decisions I made that cost me. And I hear that, and I'm just like, wow, in the pain, in the crushing, in the loss, as your life turns upside down because you came to Jesus, you can trust your creator in doing what's right. This process of shaking and things are falling off and new eternal things are coming up, this is not something bad. But we don't want to ever be shaken. You know, I want you to